Hello and welcome to the newest edition of the Roughing the Kicker Chiefs podcast on ArrowheadAddict.com and on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Josh Briscoe, and on today's show, we're going to be breaking down primetime action for the Kansas City Chiefs as they head to Pittsburgh to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who last week got absolutely embarrassed by the Philadelphia Eagles. So how will the Steelers bounce back? How can the Chiefs try to hold them down and exploit what they learned from the Eagles last week? Today we'll start with the injuries. What's the latest on guys who are coming back or are not going to be in this game? There's a long list for both teams, but a couple of potentially future Hall of Fame running backs will be on the field who have not made it on the field yet this season. Plus, we're going to go through the keys to the game. How do the Chiefs hold them down? How do the Steelers bounce back? Plus, your takes and takeaways. This time, it's your questions and concerns. What do you think about this game? What are you afraid of? What do you want to know going into this match on Sunday? I'll do my best to answer your questions, to take your concerns, and then try to turn those into some predictions to figure out what's going to be happening on Sunday Night Football. Kansas City Chiefs at Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football. Let's start with the injuries and let's start with the Kansas City Chiefs. Ja Reed and Charkandrick West are both out for this game. A couple of names that have been relevant throughout the season so far, although West has been the number two running back and Ja Reed has bounced around as he was always meant to do. Those are both actual pieces here. It seems like Parker Anger might be ready to go just 100% at this point. I would expect to see him starting if he is back in the lineup. Hopefully, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who was active last week but did not play, hopefully he's back and ready to go. We don't know as of right now, as I'm doing this show, approaching 5 o'clock on Friday. That's where we sit on the offensive line. It's going to be a mystery, I think, until basically kickoff. So keep an eye on that, but I do think we're going to see at least a couple of guards. Last week, Jordan Davey held himself just fine in the game. So I think we're going to see at least one guard not active, Ja Reed, at least one option at guard, and then everybody else is a little bit of a mystery right now. Charkandrick West, not a mystery. It would be a mystery if we expected Spencer Ware to be the number one guy and then a bunch of question marks behind him, but Adam Schefter today delivered some very good news saying that Jamaal Charles will make his season debut in this game. I expect Jamaal Charles to be rather limited in this game. I think, as I'll talk about later on, he might catch a handful of passes, but I do not expect to see him get more than maybe 5 or 6 carries, just because I think the Chiefs want to bring him in slowly. If it gets to the point, maybe if Spencer Ware gets hurt, or if it comes to a situation where he seems like the perfect matchup to insert into the game in the fourth quarter of a tight game, then maybe we see him get a little bit stretched out. But I would not expect to see a huge number of touches, especially not a huge number of carries for Jamaal Charles in this game. But it's great that he's coming back, and he will be able to eat up that handful of carries, that handful of touches that Charkandrick West had been getting these last handful of weeks. On the Steelers' side of the ball, they will not have at least 7 players on Sunday, including linebacker Ryan Shazier, wide receiver Eli Rogers, and guard Ramon Foster. But Le'Veon Bell is returning from his suspension in this game. It'll be his first game back. And this is where we can step into the keys of the game, because it sounds like Le'Veon Bell is not, there's not a huge concern of him being rusty in this game. Ed Bouchette tweeted that Mike Tomlin said about Le'Veon Bell that he is highly conditioned. Rest assured, you're going to see Bell and a lot of him on Sunday. I don't feel that way about Jamaal Charles, and that's okay. I didn't expect to, but that's the jumping off point for Le'Veon Bell. He's not coming back from injury. He's coming back from suspension, so I think he is probably 100% ready to go. A couple other keys to the game. Cody Tapp on Twitter made a nice point that has then spiraled into this whole week of analysis on Twitter. Alex Smith is clearly a much better quarterback when he has time to operate. The Steelers are dead last so far in the NFL with just 1 sack. The Steelers' pass defense has a lot of problems. Again, from Ed Bouchette. The Steelers have 1 sack in 3 games for 0 yards and losses. Tomlin said he was more disappointed in the first 2 games in that regard. Not as disappointed, apparently, in the loss to the Eagles. What else is going on in the passing game? Matt Verderam, editor of Arrowhead Addict, tweeted, "Steelers have had a very hard time against screens, constantly outnumbered or simply missed tackles." Ed Bouchette, Mike Tomlin said, "Fully expect KC to throw lots of screens, which the Eagles had great success doing versus the Steelers." It seems like we're getting a pretty straightforward look at how the Chiefs' offense is going to need to operate here. On the offensive side of the ball, here's where I take all that information, here's where I go with it. The Steelers are 4th in the league right now in allowed rushing yards per game. That's just 75 yards per game as an average. The Chiefs are averaging about 91 yards per game rushing, 21st in the league. It's going to be frustrating, but I don't think the Chiefs are going to focus on changing either of those things. I think Ware has a pretty average day for him, and I think Charles gets a handful of carries, but the passing game is going to be the point of offensive contention here for the Chiefs, which is going to, I mean, even if it shouldn't be, even if you think, well, the Chiefs should be trying to flip those numbers, should be trying to use Spencer Ware to create more problems, Andy Reid is inherently inclined to use the passing game whenever it's even close to an even playing field. In this game, in this case, I think the passing game has the upper hand. The passing offense is a bigger matchup problem, so Andy Reid is certainly going to go to it plenty of times. Here's more support for that. Maybe how the Chiefs do it a little bit. Keep this in mind. The Chiefs are 22nd in yards passing per game, averaging just 241 yards. The Chiefs have had some weird football games so far. I'll talk about this more later. But the Steelers are 31st in the league in passing yards allowed, giving up about 332 yards per game. Here's where the Chiefs go with this. And this, if this is all you take away from this show, I think this is the key. And I'm going to give you a lot of names, but I think these names are important. Alex Smith has got to push the ball downfield, throw it to Tyreek Hill like twice. That they did last week along the sideline that one time, just barely missed. Do that a couple of times. Push the ball downfield, see if you can get a pass interference, see if you can get a completion. If nothing else, terrify the Steelers secondary. Then, pick apart the middle. The Chiefs have done this pretty well whenever the offense has been moving well, although it has also struggled an incredible amount. A stat on that later in the show also. That's a tease for you. Stick around. Travis Kelce and Jeremy Maclin, maybe some Chris Conley, and frankly, just whoever gets open, any of the tight ends, I don't care. Alex Smith has plenty of options in this case. Pick apart the middle with those guys. Whenever Travis Kelce gets in a little bit of space, whenever Andy Reid can scheme him open a little bit, as it happened a few times last week, same for Jeremy Maclin. If it's DeAnthony Thomas, if it's Tyreek Hill, if it's Chris Conley, if it's any of those tight ends, if it's any of the running backs, it doesn't matter. But as long as Andy Reid is creating space, he's got at least half a dozen options for guys who can get the ball across the middle and then be very dangerous in space. Either with Travis Kelce because he turns into a battering ram, or with a guy like Tyreek Hill, who is just a hard man to catch. Scare them deep, then beat them up across the middle, as the Chiefs have shown a little bit of a tendency to do pretty well so far this season. Then, get the ball to Hill, maybe DeAnthony Thomas, Jamal Charles, even Travis Kelce on some of those screens. The Steelers' pass defense is vulnerable at every depth here. If the Chiefs are going to win this game, they're going to have to exploit that. And I don't think that can be instilled in us. It can possibly be instilled in us enough. The Steelers are vulnerable in the passing game, on defense, in every level. They give up a lot of yards. Push them deep. You pick up your yards in those small chunk plays that I've been talking about all year. Get the ball to Kelce, Maclin, anybody you want across the middle. Because those guys get the ball, they tuck it, and turn up field, and those are dangerous routes for defenses. And they're generally, with Alex Smith especially, they're generally pretty low risk. He doesn't put the ball in a lot of risky situations across the middle like that. Whenever you've got Maclin or Kelce, those guys are the A-plus options here. But even Ross Travis or Demetrius Harris or Chris Conley, whenever you've got one of those big bodies going across the middle, Alex Smith isn't going to throw it if he sees a linebacker planted back in that area, hanging out in that zone trying to prevent those. And if the Steelers do that, if the Steelers do devote a guy to hanging out in the middle to try to really limit what the Chiefs can do across the middle, then Alex Smith has to be willing to test them deep again, because there's something, there is a matchup being given to the Chiefs there. The question is, can Alex Smith find that in about 2 seconds, and then can the offensive line hold that up for that long, and then can he complete the throw? What's playing so far into the Chiefs' hands here is the fact that the Steelers have struggled at stopping the screen. Not only do the Chiefs really have some good personnel groups to some effective screen plays, don't do it in the red zone, please, but in the middle of the field, whenever you've got such a wide variety of guys, where you can give it to Travis Kelce and let him be a bowling ball, you can give it to Spencer Ware and let him be a cannonball, you can give it to Tyreek Hill and have him be a BB gun who's just really hard to get your hands on, set up those tight ends in front of him. Jeremy Maclin can hold his own on the block. Chris Conley can block. There are so many ways for the Chiefs to, even on screens, if you don't think you can run the ball up against this defensive line, then don't try. Don't worry about it. Let the screen game be your running game here. And I think that's what Andy Reid has got to be itching to do. He's not going to try to test that run defense by trying to smash the ball up the middle and have it not work over and over and over again. He's going to set up wide spread out offenses with almost a second offensive line up to the, you know, to Alex Smith's left more often than not, I would guess. You're going to have your offensive linemen, and then you're going to have a bunch of receivers or a bunch of, you know, a three tight end bunch with Tyreek Hill behind them. And that's going to be a terrifying thing for the Steelers to have to deal with. If you're looking at that setup, you're looking at three receivers bunched up with maybe a fourth behind them, or you've got three to the left and two to the right. All of a sudden, you have a play-action screen where Alex Smith pumps to his left, then turns back to the middle where Jeremy Maclin is streaking wide open because the defense bought on it. Then all of a sudden, you're looking at a 60-yard Jeremy Maclin touchdown on a 15-yard throw. Andy Reid has got to win this game. Andy Reid has to scheme this game better than anything he's done so far this year. He's got to be scheming not just before. He can't just have the best game plan. He has to have the best in-game decisions. The Steelers' weaknesses are obvious. They're obvious enough that by Monday, every Chiefs fan on the planet was reading something about how the Steelers have struggled against the screen, or about how their secondary is weak. It's all right there. And I'm sure Andy Reid knows things that we don't know, has seen things on tape that we haven't seen. He's got a big coaching staff. He's got two offensive coordinators. There are a lot of ways to poke around this Steelers defense, most of them through the passing game, which is kind of Andy Reid's thing. Now he has to make it happen. Last week, Carson Wentz made it happen. In case you missed it, the Steelers lost to the Philadelphia Eagles 34-3. And this was in Philadelphia. And obviously, it shows that maybe the Steelers' offense can be stopped. The Eagles' defense is sneakily good. And I have my concerns about Ben Roethlisberger bouncing back. I'll get to that in a second, too. But offensively, listen to what the Eagles did in this game. And I have not seen all of this game. I've seen pieces of this game. But looking at the stats, which is a dangerous thing to do, I'm going to make a couple of assumptions here. Carson Wentz had 23 completions on 31 passes for 300 yards and two touchdowns. The Eagles' leading receiver in this game, 6 receptions on 128 yards and a touchdown, 73-yard long, Darren Sproles. Second leading receiver, 3 receptions, 61 yards, Brent Celek. If you don't know about Darren Sproles and Brent Celek, Darren Sproles is like the quintessential small, shifty running back who gets into space and is hard to catch up to, or who gets to the sideline and then can turn it up and doesn't get caught. Brent Celek is a tight end. The Chiefs have that. The Chiefs have a lot of that. The Chiefs have, at this point, at least 2 very healthy, very talented pass-catching running backs because Jamaal Charles has been doing that for years, and if he's actually going to play, then he can do that. He can be Darren Sproles, but better. Apparently, Spencer Ware can catch passes now because he has been phenomenal catching the ball. You've got 3 or 4 tight ends that Andy Reid is willing to use. James O'Shaughnessy is the least of these at this point. But with Travis Kelce, with Ross Travis, and Demetrius Harris, you've got tight ends who can do what Brent Celek did and then much more. You've got Tyreek Hill, who, in my opinion, is the best comparison here to Darren Sproles. He's not going to get the carries. Although in this game, Darren Sproles actually only had 2 carries and lost a yard, so that actually might work out just fine. With the Darren Sproles that you might be most accustomed to, he's not going to get Darren Sproles' carries, but he might get Darren Sproles' 6 receptions for 128 yards and a touchdown, taking 73 yards. Tyreek Hill can do that. Hell, D'Anthony Thomas might be able to do that if he gets in this game. The Chiefs have the weapons to do what Philadelphia did last week, and Carson Wentz, who has not thrown a pick yet this year and has been extremely good, God bless him. But Alex Smith can do what Carson Wentz did last week. I don't have, especially against this defense, I have no doubt about that. He has those capabilities. And I still have such tremendous concern about them actually being able to execute it, about Andy Reid actually providing that perfect of a game plan and having the game plan beforehand but not getting off of it throughout the game or being able to adapt during the game. Because if the Steelers defense also knows what their problem is and what their problem was last week. The Steelers aren't going, man, we gave up 34 points to the Eagles and Darren Sproles had 6 receptions for 128 yards and a touchdown. Guess we're just going to give that up to Tyreek Hill and Jamal Charles and Spencer Ware again this week and just let that happen again. Of course the Steelers are preparing to fix those holes. The Chiefs can't let that happen. The Chiefs simply cannot allow the Steelers to learn from their mistakes that efficiently. It's just something they cannot let the Steelers get the advantage on. If the Steelers get the advantage on when the Chiefs pass, this game's over already. Take the week off. Let everybody rest up. If the Chiefs can't move the ball in the air in this game, it's going to be... It doesn't matter what the Steelers score, because the Chiefs will have 9 points off of the 3 miracle field goals, and that's going to be it. The Chiefs are going to have to devote themselves to this game plan. Andy Reid has to execute it, has to find these weaknesses, has to even be able to see where the Steelers are going to be trying to fix their game, and then stick with that and be able to develop that game plan as you're learning things during the game. And that worries me. None of those things, that's not really Andy Reid's strength. Andy Reid might be able to come up with a heck of a playbook before a game, you know, or to the script those first 20 plays or whatever. But I don't have a whole lot of hope in him being really flexible during the game as he starts to see what he thought. Maybe the Steelers sell out to stop the screen pass. Then all of a sudden you're looking at Jeremy Maclin and Tyreek Hill having some one-on-one matchups to go straight down the field. Is Andy Reid going to take that, or is he going to sit there and go, man, last week on tape, I saw the screen kill him. This time, this has got to be it. Let's 3 more screen passes in a row here. Eventually, one of these is going to break. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're in the third quarter, and they're down by 14. And we're going, well, this isn't going to happen. They're not picking up 14 points here because they haven't learned anything so far in this game. I don't want to see that happen. The Steelers, once again, at every level of their pass defense, can be exploited. And most importantly, as they go to try to protect one of those levels of their own defense, another one of those matchups gets worse. This game, to me, will hinge on Andy Reid and Alex Smith finding which one of those matchups is most efficient. Basically, each play, on a play-to-play basis, going, all right, what do we see? Okay, are we going deep? Are we going middle? Are we going on a screen? What's the plan here? Then doing that efficiently, which the Eagles just did in embarrassing fashion. By the way, with Doug Peterson as their head coach. Doug Peterson, last year's offensive coordinator for this Chiefs team. I don't know exactly what Doug Peterson did. I'm not in the Eagles team meetings. But I've got to think that Doug Peterson wasn't doing a whole lot of stuff that would have really pissed off Andy Reid. Because if that would have happened, I'm guessing he wouldn't have had him as his offensive coordinator last year. Just a guess. I think the Chiefs can take what Doug Peterson and the Eagles did, be willing and able to maybe execute it even better, unless you think Carson Wentz is a step above Alex Smith and that Doug Peterson is a step beyond Andy Reid, which I do not believe on either of those levels. Take everything that I've just explained, exploit it, and make the Steelers pay for their weaknesses. What about the other side of the ball here? I don't know if I'm more or less afraid of Ben Roethlisberger than I am of Andy Reid at this point, but I've got a lot of concerns about how Ben Roethlisberger bounces back in this game. First of all, Mike Tomlin said earlier in the week, so the Chiefs are an opportunistic group on defense. Peters is intercepting the ball at quote, an alarming rate, and Barry is a ball hawk at safety. In other words, Mike Tomlin doesn't watch much of Eric Berry, but okay, he's not a ball hawk at safety. That's not his move at all. Just a gross mischaracterization. Let's look at the Steelers, though, quickly here on the offensive side of the ball. What are they doing? They scored 38 points in Week 1 at Washington. They scored 24 points versus the Bengals in Week 2 at home, and then went to Philadelphia last week and put up a single field goal. Where does this leave the team right now? Both teams are 2-1. Obviously, they got a home field advantage in this game, but I think they certainly have the advantage whenever they're on offense as well. This is an article called Bad News for the Chiefs. Ben Roethlisberger always bounces back after a big loss by Matt Connor over on Arrowhead Pride. I'll spare you the step-by-step of every instance in which he's exactly right. Here's the conclusion from Matt Connor on Arrowhead Pride. Quote, if history is any indication, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to bounce back after last week's embarrassing loss to the Eagles. Even on weeks where Big Ben's performance doesn't get it done, the Steelers' defense is taking care of the rest. Somehow, the Steelers always adjust and there's rarely a losing streak. And when they've been the media's punching bag for a week, they make sure the story is different the following week. The Chiefs certainly have reason to believe they're the better team, but they're going to have to alter recurring patterns to do so. You can go read the story, you can take my word for it, that Ben Roethlisberger doesn't really lose two games in a row. That doesn't really happen very often, especially not after embarrassing losses. And this Steelers team does not seem poised to do that now. I'm going to go back to week two in Pittsburgh against the Bengals, a team where I think the Chiefs would be pretty pleased to be compared to. They have their issues. But I think the Chiefs and the Bengals are on pretty similar wavelengths right now as kind of second-tier contenders in the AFC. And what the Steelers did to the Bengals in this game, again, 24-16 the final score, what they did to the Bengals in this game offensively, was an incredible amount of D'Angelo Williams, who in this game will not be the factor. It will be Le'Veon Bell, which is a step up. But to beat the Bengals at home, they gave D'Angelo Williams the ball 32 times. That's 94 yards on 32 carries, which is not efficient. That's something the Chiefs can absolutely deal with. On the other side of the ball, Cincinnati could not move it. Andy Dalton only threw the ball. I mean, 366 yards. They got plenty of ball movement through the air. Could not do anything on the ground. The team as a whole rushed for 46 yards. Giovanni Bernard, though, again, listen to the same pattern before I go back to the other side of the ball. Giovanni Bernard was their leading receiver. 9 receptions for 100 yards and a touchdown in this game on 11 targets. Giovanni Bernard is a running back. The Steelers' weaknesses are obvious here. But they couldn't get the ball into the end zone, and the Pittsburgh offense was moving it just enough. Even though Antonio Brown was not a factor in this game, 4 receptions for 39 yards. Sammy Coates had 2 for 97 to lead the team. This was not a sexy game. Going back to week 1 against Washington, but again, that was not a sexy game, and in fact, it was kind of horrific in a lot of ways, but the Steelers won it by 8 points at home. That's the kind of stuff that seems to happen a whole lot in Pittsburgh with the Ben Roethlisberger football team. And if that surprises you, and if you're not prepared for that, it's something that's going to be disappointing. If the Chiefs don't, man, I mean, even, I can't ever get away from the Chiefs offense, because that's the bigger fear I have, I think, is that the Chiefs offense is a fraud. That's my grand concern here. If the Chiefs offense gets off to their third consecutive slow start, and they made some nice plays to start off of the Jets game, I can give you that, but the offense did not produce consistently in the Jets game. The only time they produced consistently was against a bad Chargers defense in the second half of week 1, and last 18 minutes or so of week 1. Since then, and before then, the Chiefs offense has not been efficient. Against Washington, though, in Washington, on the road, that was the Steelers' lone super successful offensive game. 300 yards and 3 touchdowns for Roethlisberger. D'Angelo Williams got 143 yards on the ground on 26 carries. Antonio Brown, 8 receptions for 126 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's the Steelers' game that I think most people are expecting on a week-to-week basis, not just against the Chiefs. But in this case, they're going to have Le'Veon Bell back whenever they do take on Kansas City. Kirk Cousins threw for 2 interceptions and over 300 yards. They could not move the ball on the ground. That's been a pattern all year, as I mentioned earlier. And DeSean Jackson, twisting up the narrative a little bit, ended up with 6 receptions for 102 yards. But he's certainly capable of catching some screens. And then Jordan Reed, their tight end, was their second leading receiver. A lot of these matchups make sense for the Chiefs offense, but I refuse, and this is an instance of something I talked about last week. If you listen to the show on a weekly basis, you'll know what I'm saying. If not, I'll try to reset it for new listeners. We spend at least the first 4 weeks of any season, in my opinion, making our picks and predictions based off of what we think we know or what we knew about teams before the season began. That's what I'm doing with Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers team. They're 2-1. They had an ugly, ugly win against the Bengals. They had a blowout win against Washington. They had a really horrific loss against the Eagles. Take what you know about the Steelers, about Ben Roethlisberger, about Mike Tomlin, about the Steelers with returning Le'Veon Bell. I am in no place to even insinuate that the Steelers' offense is not going to be absolutely raring to go come Sunday, and the Chiefs are going to have their hands full trying to stop it. The secondary last week against the Jets was phenomenal. I've never been more optimistic about Philip Gaines and Marcus Peters and Steven Nelson in my entire life. Not just because of all those interceptions, but because of the pass breakups, because Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall were non-issues. I'm not terrified of Antonio Brown, which is a dumb thing to say. And then on Tuesday, or whenever I do the next show, the recap show, I'm going to play this back and go, man, I'm an idiot. Antonio Brown goes 12 catches for 192 yards and 3 touchdowns, I'm a dope. I'm prepared for that. But I think Marcus Peters and Philip Gaines and even Steven Nelson can all hold their own. I feel really good about the super young Chiefs secondary right now. And they will all make big mistakes. But especially with Ron Parker behind them, who has done some phenomenal things so far this season and for all of last year. I still think he's the MVP of this defense last year if it's not Marcus Peters. The pass defense has really proven to be, if not a strength of this defense, at the very least not the weakness that I feared it would become. I feel great about what they've grown through in the last 3 weeks. That's not misspoken, but what they have in fact grown through. They grew through really struggling against Keenan Allen until he got hurt, and then they shut down the Chargers offense. They grew through DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, and even though they lost that game, it was certainly not the secondary's fault. It was the offense's fault, 100%. They grew through that and came out of it looking better. And then the next week grew through their matchups against Brandon Marshall, against Eric Decker, against the young guy who has the unpronounceable last name that I've already forgotten. Those are difficult matchups that they survived and seem to have learned from and got better because of. That is so encouraging from the secondary. I'm not terrified of the secondary. And the last 2 weeks, the run defense looked much better. The run defense in the preseason and in week one was an unapologetic disaster. It was an absolute mess. Dontari Poe looked like a different man in week two. The whole run defense looked better in week three. Chris Jones is making moves. The defensive line looked a whole lot better. The pass rush is severely concerning to me. We've got a couple of teams right now who cannot get to the quarterback, which you can take for whatever you may mean. And there's so much to break down in this game. I'm at 26 minutes into this show right now, and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface. We haven't even talked about the Steelers trying to get to Alex Smith with one sack, I think I said, this whole season. And the Chiefs with, I think, 3 sacks this season? That might be too few. A tremendously low number of sacks for both teams. A tremendously inconsistent amount of pressuring from both teams. Alex Smith is really good when he has time. Ben Roethlisberger is really good all the time. Ben Roethlisberger, whenever he does have time, is finding open guys and making infuriating throws. Whenever Ben Roethlisberger's under pressure, he's usually like King Kong, just swatting away defenders like the planes swirling around the Empire State Building, and then stepping up and completing a pass anyway. But the Chiefs' defensive line, because the linebackers are not going to do it, the Chiefs' defensive line is going to have to rattle Ben Roethlisberger while also paying attention to Le'Veon Bell's return. At this point, I do think Le'Veon Bell is going to make the Chiefs' run defense look a little more like week one than the last couple of weeks. Not exactly like it, but a little bit. It's going to be a step back for the run defense with Le'Veon Bell coming in and running through some gaps a little too ferociously for the Chiefs to handle. And I think Ben Roethlisberger is going to take that lack of pressure, or even whenever he is pressured, unless he is really, really harassed. He's going to remind all of us that last week was a really good performance from the secondary, coupled with some really bad decisions and some really bad throws from Ryan Fitzpatrick. Unprompted, unforced, Ben Roethlisberger is not going to make those kinds of errors. That's not who he is as a quarterback on any level, so don't expect that. If the Chiefs are going to win this game, it's going to be with a really, really successful production offensively and doing some of the things that the Eagles' defense did last week, which is just, like, impossible to even fathom how they held the Steelers to 3 points. But they've got to pressure Roethlisberger in a way they haven't pressured any quarterback yet, because whenever he gets the kind of time that Brock Osweiler got, that Ryan Fitzpatrick got, that Phillip Rivers got, he's going to do more than those three guys combined. He's a dangerous man under pressure. He is lethal whenever he's got plenty of time to find his options. Before we dive into your questions and concerns for this episode of the show, I want to say thank you to the people who support this show via patreon.com. That's patreon.com/RTK. It's basically a virtual tip jar. You can go there and say, each month I'm willing to tip this much money to this show, to this creator, in this case, me and this show, for the show that I'm producing twice a week during this regular season. And a lot of you have been doing that, and I am very, very thankful. And yeah, if you'd like to support this show in that same way, you go to patreon.com/RTK. $20 group, I'll answer any question you give me, plus your name and your Twitter handle shouted out on the show if you have a Twitter handle. $10 group is a name shout out in the Twitter handle. $5 group, I say thank you to you on this show. Here's who's done it so far. Here's who supported this show through the month of October. Thank you to Tide Declare at TideDeclare44 on Twitter in the $20 group. Don Beal at DonBeal32. Andy Simpson. Randy Singh at Randy_Singh_. Ray Hines at Big Turf Guy. That is the $20 group for this month. $10 group, Christine Roadlander at C Roadlander on Twitter. Todd Sullivan at Tito Solovino. And the $5 group, Josh Beadle. Thank you to everyone who supports the show financially through the virtual tip jar of patreon.com/RTK. If you'd like to support the show in any of those ways, or if you'd like to sponsor the show, if you have something that you want to sell to the Chiefs Kingdom, I would be happy to help you do that. You can go to patreon.com/RTK for more information. Your questions and concerns. This morning I asked for them, and man, you guys delivered. There are a lot of these, which is great because I'm happy to have you guys help me do my job for me, which is to say, what should we be looking at a little bit closer here to see if I can answer some of these questions? Start just going chronological order. First off, from Michael Dewey, said, I can't help but shake the feeling this week's Kansas City's ugly side shows up. I'll give my prediction here in a little bit, but I feel like that kind of gut reaction here is very justified. If nothing else, because of what we know about the Steelers, what we know about Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin, all of the weapons they have on offense, one thing that I think we're probably doing is overrating their defense. Their defense hasn't been very good for a couple of years, and at least for me, I grew up watching Troy Polamalu, which might be weird for some people, but I started really watching football when I was probably 13 or so. So there's a nice 5-year span there where I got a lot of Troy Polamalu and that defense with James Harrison at his peak, and that defense isn't that good anymore. But I also kind of have a little bit of that bad feeling in the pit of my stomach about the ugly side of this team showing up here. From Ray Hines, this is a winnable game on the road, but the room for error is minuscule. Is it Daddy Nicholas time? He says yes, and no tight end screens on the 3-yard line. I've spent most of this show praising the idea of bringing more screens into this offense, but I do not want them from the 3-yard line. If you're within the 5-yard, if you're within 5 yards of the end zone, just let's move the ball forward here. Either run the ball or throw the ball into the end zone. Daddy Nicholas, I would love it if he could get in the game and actually produce some pressure, because this defense needs it so badly, and somebody's got to get to Ben Roethlisberger, somebody's got to get behind him and rip the ball out once in this game. I don't think it's going to be Daddy Nicholas to do that, though. I think he is the project of this defense. I think he's the guy who is basically getting a redshirt year where you get him a few snaps here and there, but the Chiefs don't really expect him to actually bulk up and actually be a consistent pass rusher until next season. And I'm still very happy about the projection for Daddy Nicholas's career from here on out. I think he actually could do some very good work for this team, but I don't think we're going to see him have a big game here, although I hope I'm wrong. From Tony, with the disappearance of Albert Wilson, is his roster spot safe? This is an interesting question, and I think it might be. But that wasn't really an answer there, was it? Back at the roster cuts, I thought if the Chiefs saw D'Anthony Thomas in the third and fourth preseason games and said, man, that guy could really be our slot guy, I could have seen D'Anthony Thomas taking that roster spot, because I haven't seen anything from Albert Wilson in almost a calendar year now. The second half of his season last year was bad. This offseason and preseason was ugly. The beginning of this season has been ugly. And I'm not bullish on Albert Wilson by any means at this point. I don't think the Chiefs are either, because you can look to the snap counts through the last 3 weeks, as they did on the recap show last week, and you can see them sloping downwards. So if the Chiefs think that D'Anthony Thomas or Tyreek Hill can hold their own with some more slot snaps, then I think Albert Wilson becomes expendable. Right now, for whatever reason, I think they'd rather have him lined up out there because they think he's going to run the better route, but I would not trust him to actually catch any slightly contended pass, because he gets alligator arms even when there's nobody out there to hit him. He just does not extend very well. And once he catches the ball, he's not particularly lethal. I mean, if you take all of the options, let's run through this really quick. This is going to be bad radio. But you've got 3 running backs, Charles, Ware, and West. You've got 3 tight ends, Kelsey, Travis, Harris. You've got at least 3 receivers, Macklin, Conley, and Tyreek Hill. And you want to give in D'Anthony Thomas there. You've got 10 options on this offense that are more dangerous with the ball than Albert Wilson is. 10 options. I am not I'm not wedded to his roster spot by any means, and it's not like it would hurt him hurt the Chiefs to cut him because he's not on any giant contract or anything. I think he's still playing as undrafted rookie free agent contract at this point. So I expect Albert Wilson to stay on this roster, but I would not have, my mind would not be blown if he ended up losing his roster spot sometime about halfway through the season. Also from Tony, is Dontari Poe more of a freak athlete than J.J. Watt? He played through the same injury after surgery while Watt is done for the season. Watt tried to come back too quickly. If you miss it, J.J. Watt is done for the year with a back injury. That's basically very, very similar to Dontari Poe's. I don't know the specific medical details of them, and I feel like with back injuries, a lot of things can be very different. J.J. Watt tried to come back so quickly from his injury, and it cost him badly, and it cost the Texans badly. Dontari Poe is an absolute freak of an athlete, no question. I don't know how to compare those two things because looking at individual back injuries and football players, even guys at different positions, is crazy. If you want to take it to mean something, though, for Dontari Poe, you can absolutely go, man, I have a new appreciation for Dontari Poe's strength and his rehab and being a force again at the nose tackle position most of the time, doing, you know, moving incredible amounts of pressure with his back, having healed from an injury that knocked out J.J. Watt after trying to come back too soon. So Dontari Poe is absolutely a medical and athletic freak, and I'm glad he's on this team. Back from Tony one more time, also with Dontari Poe, do you see us retaining Poe and Barry? Do you see them taking hometown discounts? This is a really interesting question because I think the Chiefs are trying to set themselves up to create more cap space to be able to keep someone next year. They've already figured out Travis Kelce and Eric Fisher. They prioritize those guys most highly. I do not see Eric Berry coming back next year. At least I can say I would not be bringing Eric Berry back next year. I think his career at this point is at best plateauing, and at this plateau, he's not worth that gigantic money. I didn't think he was last year. Franchising him this year was annoying to me, but especially going forward, if you're talking about giving him gigantic money, I definitely would not be doing that. I don't think he gets better from here, and he as a cover safety in the passing game, if he's not a liability, he's at least not a strength. And to be paying a guy that kind of money, that needs to be a strength. For Ron Parker, he is a strength in the pass defense. Eric Berry plays deep linebacker more often than not. That can be valuable, but it's not that valuable. Dontari Poe, Chris Jones, I think, was drafted in a lot of ways to be able to take over for Dontari Poe, but Chris Jones is getting more work outside in the rotation with Jay Howard and Alan Bailey, which and those guys, those contracts go up in, I think, Jay Howard 1 year from now, Alan Bailey 2 years from now, if I remember that correctly. But anyway, certainly Dontari Poe's a free agent next year. I think there's 1 year, 0 years, 1 year, and 2 years left on those contracts. The defensive line is going to get very expensive very soon. And Chris Jones, I could see very much being the successor to either Bailey or Howard and keeping Dontari Poe. So right now, I am leaning more towards there being a better chance that the Chiefs pay and keep Dontari Poe. But I wouldn't be shocked at all to see both of those guys end up walking and to see that money get invested elsewhere and because of Eric Berry's limitations in the passing game and Dontari Poe's occasional, and this might be overreacting, his occasional unreliability. In that first game this year against the Chargers, he was getting beat up on, and maybe that was just getting a slow start to the season. I'll tell you this, I would be absolutely shocked to see Dontari Poe get a contract before halfway through this season, maybe even before 10 weeks through this season, because I think the Chiefs want to see him play out through this and make sure he's still on the up and up and not plateauing, not declining from here. That's a concern that I have with Dontari Poe. More questions about this game. Ryan Miller, our record in Sunday Night Football / primetime games concerns me. Side note, it's not good. Combined with facing their stars with Big Ben, Antonio Brown, and Bell, a top 10 quarterback, the best receiver, a top 3 running back in the game. The question is, can we generate enough offense to keep up with Pittsburgh's high-powered attack? In my opinion, a game where we have to put up 24 or more points to win. The Eagles would have had to have put up 4 points to win. That's amazing to me. That was also without Le'Veon Bell. But I'm inclined to agree with you, Ryan, that this is a case where the Chiefs are going to have to win this game by outscoring the Steelers. I think Big Ben is probably better than a top 10 quarterback. It is the best receiver, and it could be the best running back in football, depending on when you're looking at it. I would certainly say that in that conversation of triplets that I think we had this offseason, maybe last offseason, I've been doing this show for too long, of the best triplets in the NFL, the best combination of a quarterback, a running back, and a pass catcher, the Steelers are number one, far and away. Big Ben, Antonio Brown, and Le'Veon Bell, you're not going to do better with a triplet set of those three guys. And the Chiefs defense is going to have to be prepared to stand up to that. As Cody Tapp pointed out on Twitter to me earlier today, we're having a conversation about the Chiefs' first 3 weeks. The Chiefs have allowed one touchdown since the halfway mark of the Chargers game. After halftime, the Chiefs have allowed one touchdown in those 2.5 games since then. Maybe the Chiefs' defense is more for real than we're giving it credit for. Maybe Keenan Allen was exploiting another slow start, that, as we've talked about over and over, that DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller and Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker could not exploit. That's a huge encouragement to me. Maybe this defense is going to be able to hold up better against the Pittsburgh offense than I was expecting it to. But then, yes, can the Chiefs' offense hang? Right now, I'm not sure. From John B., playing into that, the biggest question for me would be, what is the Chiefs' offensive identity? The Jets' defense is good, but the offense was horrible. Also, I'm tired of field goals. I'm also unbelievably tired of field goals for this offense. Cairo Santos is great. I'm sick of seeing him on the field, except whenever it's kicking the ball back to the other team after a touchdown and on the field for extra points. Too many field goals for this offense. That's a problem from Andy Reid's entire career, not just in Kansas City, but especially in Kansas City. I don't know what the Chiefs' offensive identity is. Spencer Ware has been the most valuable asset through 3 weeks, and he didn't get enough carries last week. And I'm not sure if he's not gotten enough carries at any point throughout this season, even though he has been tremendous. Jamaal Charles comes back. Is Charles reshaping the Chiefs' offensive identity in this game? Is the identity trying to exploit the Steelers on the screen again? Is the Chiefs' offensive identity being able to do a lot of different things? I think what it actually is kind of a normal gradient of 60% of the passes, or 60% of the offensive plays are runs or passes under 10 yards, then 35% of the plays are between 10 yards and 20 yards, and then 5% of the plays are going beyond 20 yards. It's those occasional shots to try to keep the defense honest. And the way they do that, I don't think really matters that much, because I think the whole point of this Andy Reid offense is building an offense that way, with infrequent deep shots, somewhat frequent mid-level shots, and mostly building it on screen passes, short passes, and the run game. I think that's what this Chiefs team is actually going to be identified with. I would like to see some of those short passes, those short offensive plays, be converted into a couple more deep shots, spend a little bit more time going for those mid-level chunk plays and keeping that pace very, very fast, because that's when this Chiefs offense has been the most efficient and the most effective. Don't let the defense sub out. Don't get obsessed with personnel groups. Find a set of personnel groups that throws the matchups all the way off of the defense. Exploit those for as long as possible. Make the Steelers' defense call a timeout. Make them be back on their heels. Make them struggle with what you're throwing at them. Don't let them get away with making chess moves after chess moves to keep up with you. Oh, you bring in an extra tight end, we'll bring in an extra bigger body. You bring in Tyreek Hill and Anthony Thomas, we'll bring in a short corner. Don't let them dictate the matchups. The offense has to dictate those matchups. Andy Reid has to dictate them himself. Not let the Steelers keep up that quickly. By doing the way you do that is by keeping them on their heels and devoting yourself to a personnel group, to a set of matchups that you think you can exploit, and then trying to exploit that for 5 plays in a row and just keeping it moving quickly so they have a really hard time keeping up with the pace. I want the Chiefs' identity to be as the most annoying offense in football. That's what I want it to be. Because they can beat you a variety of different ways, and if they start beating you one way, you're going to have to call a timeout and get off the field and switch up your personnel, because they're not going to stop, and they're not going to give you a chance to dig yourself out of that hole. That's what I wish. I don't think that's how it's actually going to play out. From Keyshawn Brown, I don't believe that I've seen this year where West and Ware have both been on the field at the same time. Wouldn't that create mismatches? I think it absolutely would, and I think we have a better chance now of seeing that with Ware and Charles. Maybe that's a time whenever we see both of those guys get on the field at the same time, because they can both catch passes, they can both go up the middle, they can both do just about anything. Keeping track of both of them is a nightmare for defenses. Also from Keyshawn, why not put Tomba and Moses on the same side to create a pass rush off the edge? Last week I noticed at least once, I think a couple of times, when Tomba and D Ford were on the same side trying to do that. I think Bob Sutton is willing to try to do anything it takes to get to Ben Roethlisberger here, and in some cases it's going to bite him, and in some cases it's going to work out. I'm totally fine with that. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Also, Keyshawn, after seeing what he does in limited time, do you think we need more Chris Jones on passing situations? Going right back to what Bob Sutton's willing to do to get pressure, bringing in more Chris Jones would make a ton of sense here. You might have to end up with a really strange-looking front line, maybe Tomba and Moses and Ford or whichever one of those guys are on the field, aren't actually rushing the passer in those situations, and you're devoting way more to your down linemen. Maybe you're bringing in all four of those guys at the same time. You're running a kind of a maybe a 4-2 where you've got all four of those linemen that we talk about all the time, Bailey, Howard, Poe, Jones, not in that order, but just all on the field. You have a couple of linebackers, and then you're bringing in maybe Tombo off of an edge. I think Bob Sutton is going to, if he's not willing to do that, is going to have to become willing to do that in this game because Ben Roethlisberger's got to feel the pressure here. Also from Keyshawn, last thing from him, Ron Parker and Derek Johnson are so underrated, and you're absolutely right. I hope that that's not something that anyone listening to this show could say, because I think by how underrated they are, I am willing to talk about them all the time. Derek Johnson's one of the best inside linebackers of this generation and will be a Chiefs Ring of Honor member before you know it. Ron Parker, I think last year, was one of the three most important players on this defense, no question whatsoever. He's doing it again this year, both having a tremendous season. From Phil Burt, said, I heard the Steelers secondary is not very good. What are the chances of the Chiefs airing it out big time? As I mentioned earlier, the fact that the Steelers secondary is vulnerable at every level, I think begs the Chiefs to shoot deep a couple of times, but I don't really expect it. Also building off of that, Austin Wilson said, use Tyreek to stretch the field, use D'Anthony Thomas for screens. I would be thrilled to see that. It's that same motivation of how do you stretch the field and make them be scared of you in multiple facets of the game. Send Hill deep. Throw D'Anthony Thomas in the screen game. Have Jeremy Maclin going across the middle. And I don't expect those to happen on the same play very often. I expect most of the plays to be devoted to going deep, going middle, or going short. I think that's how Andy Reid generally builds them up. But if there are instances where Alex Smith has those options, either in a few plays in a row, or just in one play where all of those things are happening at once, that is going to mess up some defenses. Just having Tyreek Hill go deep and then demand attention from the safety opens up so much across the middle, and that's something that I can't believe we haven't seen more of yet. Send Tyreek Hill deep, let him outrun Jeremy Maclin, let him just sprint, and then run past the safety, so the safety has got to stick with him, and then Macklin's taking that a shorter version of a similar route, getting open in space in the middle, have Travis Kelce doing something else similar, to where then as soon as the ball there is there to the air to Maclin, the safety's gone because he had to chase Tyreek Hill. Kelce is in the area, ready to clear out some space to help Maclin break it off for a few more yards. And then he should be looking at open space just with him and that safety. I want to see more of that, where Tyreek Hill's speed is carrying the safety off, and it's setting up something across the middle for Kelce or Maclin or Conley, or even D'Anthony Thomas, another guy who can get into space and then do something with his speed. The Chiefs have so many offensive weapons here, and it's so unfortunate to me to realize that Andy Reid, in a lot of cases, has been very unimaginative with this offense. With probably the best set of weapons he's had, certainly in Kansas City, I'm trying to think of the best set of weapons that he had back in Philadelphia. He has so many tools and so many versatile, different kinds of tools that the defenses should be much more scared of the Chiefs' offense than they actually are. Here's the prediction. The prediction of this game brought to you by MyBookie.ag. MyBookie has this Chiefs as a 5-point underdog in this game, and I'm going to give the points right now. At this point, I'll say the Steelers win this game by 10. Give me the Steelers 27, Chiefs 17. And let me give you some quick math. Let me give you my concerns here as to why, for the first time this season, I'm picking the Chiefs to lose a game. In three games this year, the Chiefs offense has scored 10 points versus the Jets, 12 points versus the Texans, all field goals, and 3 points against the Chargers if you remove the whirlwind of the final 20 minutes of the game and overtime. And perhaps that's unfair, so bring those points back in. In 12 quarters of regulation plus overtime, the Chiefs' offense has scored 60 points with 5 touchdowns, 4 of those coming in the last 18 minutes of the Chargers game plus overtime. On the other hand, the Chiefs' defense has only allowed 1 touchdown since that first half against the Chargers. But against the Steelers here, I don't think the defense can keep up that pace, and the offense has not shown me enough consistency to believe they'll be able to get it done here. I am overwhelmed by the 1 touchdown through an entire game against the Texans and an entire game against the Jets and then the first half against the Chargers. Forget the Chargers game if that bugs you. Don't worry about it. Go to just the last 2 games here. The Chiefs' offense at Houston and at home against the Jets, the Chiefs' offense, not the whole team, the offense has scored 22 points. 1 touchdown. 1 touchdown in their last 2 games. And that's not enough for me. And the Steelers' defense might be worse than Houston's, and it might be worse than the Jets. And I can see paths to this game, and I feel like I've spent the last 50 minutes of this show giving you the paths to this game where the Chiefs can prove me wrong here, where the Chiefs can be more imaginative offensively, can threaten the Steelers at every depth of the offense, where the offense can actually thrive in this matchup. But if I had to bet my life on it, I don't think they're going to do it. I think they can do it. I don't think they will. I don't think Andy Reid is going to be able to break out of that shell enough here. And I think the Chiefs' offense is going to struggle in Pittsburgh, even though looking at it on paper, it really shouldn't. Defensively, I think the Chiefs end up giving the Steelers too many short fields, giving them the ball back too often, and Ben Roethlisberger is just better. That Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown just do enough. And 27 points isn't insane, and especially if the Chiefs' offense would be pinning the Chargers, would be pinning the Steelers back, or would be eating up enough of the clock to keep the Steelers' offense on its heels or just on the sidelines, then 27 points wouldn't even be an option. But at this point, I think it's 27 points, not because the defense really falls apart, but because the Steelers just have the ball too much. And then they beat Marcus Peters once, they beat Philip Gaines once, Le'Veon Bell has a couple of nice runs, and before you know it, all of a sudden there's 27 points, and the Chiefs lose this game by 10. I'm not going to church on this game. I'm not saying this is the ultimate truth. I'm not completely convinced of it. But sitting in this spot right now saying I need a prediction, I'm putting the Chiefs at a 10-point loss here. I would love to see this turn out differently. And really, this is going to be hypocritical, because if you listen to my recap of the Week 1 show, of the game in Week 1, that show, I do think it matters how you win games, but the most important thing is just the victory. And beating the Chargers changed the outlook of the rest of the season, because if the Chiefs would have started 0-2 and then had the Jets at home, I'm not convinced they win that game, or I'm certainly not convinced that we're excited about it, and I'm looking at 1-3 here after this week. The most important thing is the actual tally that your win or loss goes in, the column that your tally goes in. But in this case, I do care how this game goes. And if the Chiefs lose this game, either way, I'm upset. If the Chiefs lose this game with a great offensive performance, it hurts a little bit less. If it's just, well, Ben Roethlisberger and that offense right now is just a little bit better, they win by 3 points, and it's, you know, 30-27, and the defense doesn't really struggle that much, but it just gets beat, I could live with that. But if the Chiefs win this game, like they won the Jets game, with creating some mistakes on defense, maybe a special teams touchdown or two, and the offense doesn't really do anything of its own, it doesn't create many points of its own, I'm going to have these same reservations for the rest of the season, or at least until they can actually change that narrative. So while it could be a 3-0 final, and I would be absolutely thrilled about the Chiefs winning a game in Pittsburgh, that would be, and also going into the bye week, the Chiefs have a bye after this, and then they have the Thursday night game at Oakland. The Thursday night game is later in the year. Oakland at home is Thursday night. But the Chiefs are going to have some rough stretches against some good quarterbacks here. It's Roethlisberger, then it's Derek Carr, then it's Drew Brees, then it's Andrew Luck. They've got to be able to hold up defensively against those guys, and that's not the thing I'm most concerned about. The thing I'm most concerned about is scoring with those teams and outscoring those teams. I think the Chiefs' defense has done some fantastic things so far this year, especially through these last two games. Offensively, I've got to see some consistency, and until I see it, I'm going to be very skeptical of them winning in Pittsburgh, in Oakland, in Indianapolis. I've got to see it. The Chiefs have not had a better time yet this season to prove that they do have an offense that can actually win games. This is the chance for Andy Reid and for Alex Smith in this offense. I don't think they're going to capitalize on it. I think it's plausible. I think they can. I hope they do. But I can't expect them to. Not without having seen it at all before. At least all the way back to the second half of that Chargers game. And that was against a much worse team. So, Sunday night, prime time, in front of the country, we're either going to see the Chiefs redefine their season, redefine their offense, and redefine their character from here on out, or we're going to see the same old Chiefs team. And it's not going to be a crowning, and it's not going to be a clowning, I guess. I did not write that ahead of time. It's not going to be, well, this Chiefs team, this is a favorite in the AFC, or they're a fraud. But they can do a lot on Sunday Night Football to determine the narrative from here on out for their season. And I hope they capitalize on it. If you ever put some money on a football game and scored a big win, only to have to wait weeks to collect your cash, now there are thousands of online players eliminating that wait time by switching over to MyBookie. You can go to MyBookie.ag. Stop wasting your time on other websites. Play live, partake in the in-game betting, and watch the odds change in real time. Remember, it's all moving fast. When you win, you're going to enjoy no-hassle payouts, so there's nothing holding you back from your victory cash. Join now and get your first deposit match, dollar for dollar, for up to a grand, $1,000. Plus, if you sign up and make your first deposit within the first 30 minutes of making your account, you get another 10% bonus. What does it take to get that? Sign up and use the promo code KICKER for that 100% bonus up to $1,000. Do it in the first 30 minutes for another 10%. Remember, use the promo code KICKER. Visit mybookie.ag today or call 844-900-BETS. That's 844-900-2387 to open your account and start winning today. Use the promo code KICKER to get your 100% deposit bonus and show the good folks at MyBookie they're spending their money wisely when they support this podcast. Expert or rookie, you've got to check out mybookie.ag. Sign up today with the promo code KICKER. Let's go around the AFC West, see what's going on in the division this weekend. The Denver Broncos at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. MyBookie has Denver as 3-point favorites, minus 120. You cannot scare me off from that game. I think the Broncos win this by a touchdown or two. The Broncos' offense might just be better than it was last year, and the defense has not regressed, which is really discouraging. But I don't see a way that Tampa Bay, even at home, can hang with the Broncos. I think the Broncos win that game pretty sizably. The New Orleans Saints are at the San Diego Chargers. The Chargers are 4-point favorites on MyBookie, which is kind of strange to me. I would not have them as 1-point favorites in a neutral site. I think I will even take the Saints to win this game straight up. Plus 4 points, great if you can find it. I think the Saints go on the road, bounce back from that really rough performance against the Falcons, and the Saints take another win up over San Diego in the Drew Brees revenge game. The Oakland Raiders have the most interesting matchup of this week, I think, which is the Raiders at the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are 3.5-point favorites in this game on MyBookie, and I'll take the Ravens to win here. I think the Chargers lose at home. I think the Raiders lose on the road. I think the Broncos win on the road. So the Broncos will still, no matter what happens with the Chiefs and Steelers, I see the Broncos keeping the reins of the AFC West heading into Week 5. Scratching an hour on this preview episode of the Rough and the Kicker Chiefs podcast on arrowheadaddict.com and on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Joshua Briscoe. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, maybe on TuneIn by now. Any way that you subscribe to podcasts, do it for this one so you never miss an episode whenever they end up coming out, because I'm frankly a little bit sporadic. And if you're listening to this show, you've got to get to me on Twitter at JB Briscoe, because not only do I want your questions and concerns before games, I want your takes and takeaways afterwards. I'm building in whole segments of this show to make sure I'm hearing from you and that I'm seeing what you're seeing, that you're hearing what I'm hearing about these games and leading up to these games. I hope you've enjoyed this show. I hope you've learned something from this show. I hope you've been entertained by this show. If you weren't any of those things, thanks for listening to 58 minutes of it anyway. I really appreciate it. You should probably listen to a podcast you enjoy more. It's weird that you're still here, actually. I'm Joshua Briscoe. I'll be back next week to recap Chiefs Steelers. Thank you for listening. Until next time. Excuse me, sir, but could you drop the bass?